Hello and welcome to our site. This morning we do something a little different because in our church we have both an infant dedication service and a baptismal service. Yes, we are dedicating a baby to the Lord with thanksgiving, and we are sharing in the wonderful blessing of four disciples, four believers in the Lord Jesus who will be following the Lord in his example and obeying his command in believers' baptism. So it's a good opportunity to actually point out the difference between the two services. So we begin with the dedication service as we dedicate a little baby to the Lord. In this service of dedication, we firstly give thanks to God, the maker of all things and the giver of all life, for the creation and birth of the little child. Secondly, we make a solemn promise as parents and as a church family that, relying on God's help and working in partnership together, we endeavor to bring up this child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thirdly, we're to pray that God's blessing may descend and rest upon the child, remembering how the Lord Jesus took little children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Hear the word of God as I read just a few scriptures to put us in the context of an infant dedication service. In the Old Testament, we read in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Psalm 127, verses 1 and 3, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Lo, children are a heritage from the Lord." And then the words of Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, "Whoever receives one such child in my name, says Jesus, receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, "He took a child and put him in the midst of them. Taking the child in his arms, Jesus said, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'" They were bringing children to him. Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. They were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. The disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them up in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands upon them. What a beautiful scene. In presenting a child to the Lord, we ask the parents then to promise that in dependence on God's grace and in partnership with the local church, they will teach this child, as the child grows up to an age of understanding, the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer, precept, and example, bring up the child in the way of the Lord. And then we ask the congregation to acknowledge and accept their responsibility, together with the parents, to teach and train this child where they have opportunity, perhaps in Sunday school and youth, in the children's and youth programs of the church, that being brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, the child may be led in due time to trust Jesus Christ personally and willfully as their Lord and Savior, confessing him as Lord in baptism and being made a member of his church visibly. And so that's the dedication service. We take the little one in our arms, and we pray the Aaronic blessing, the Aaronic blessing. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We pray that our Heavenly Father will, through his Holy Spirit, rest upon the child, dwell with the child, keep watch over the child, guide and sanctify the child in body and in spirit, that this child may grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, just as Jesus did. We pray that God will abundantly enrich the child with his heavenly grace and bring the child safely through the perils of childhood, deliver the child from the temptations of youth, and lead the child to, in due time, witness a good confession and persevere in the Christian faith to the very end, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful occasion always to dedicate a baby or a little child to the Lord. There's a great difference between that and what we read about baptism in the New Testament. And so would you allow me just to read to you a selection of scriptures that show us so clearly in the New Testament what baptism is all about. And first of all, we want to look at the actual baptism of the Lord Jesus himself. And we read about that, for example, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we have what we call the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Jesus ascends back to heaven, we read that Jesus came and said, this is Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples, that is, pupils, learners of Christ, people who will be so committed to Jesus that they will become like him as their master and Lord. Make disciples and baptize them in the name, that is, baptize the disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always as you do this to the very end of the age. On the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the Holy Spirit came upon the believing community in Jerusalem. Remember, they were almost exclusively Jews or those who espoused Judaism. And the Holy Spirit of God came in fulfillment of the ancient Jewish festival of Pentecost. And the disciples, the believers in Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this caused a great stir, and Peter stood up as the spokesman and spoke to a massive crowd that had come out of temple worship in Jerusalem, exalting Jesus, whom they had crucified, as one who had been exalted to the right hand of God, received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and poured out what the people saw and heard. And when they cried out in conviction, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those who repented and believed in Jesus as their Lord and Messiah, committing their lives to him, were baptized, and about 3,000 believers in Jesus were added to the believing church that day. What an amazing sight that must have been. And then as we read on in the Acts of the Apostles, I'd like to turn your attention to Acts chapter 8, and there we read of Philip the evangelist going to Samaria and preaching the gospel to the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 8, if you can follow in your Bible, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Holy Spirit told Philip, "Go up to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture, what in Isaiah 7, chapter 53. It's a wonderful prophecy about Jesus, written 700 years before Jesus came. It says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch said to Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is much water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. What a sight this must have been! Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Notice, they went down into the water, and Philip immersed him, baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. So I've entitled our sermon this morning, "The Joy in Following Jesus." The joy in following Jesus. The next thing we read about is in chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the mighty Paul the Apostle and writes off the New Testament. And his conversion account is climaxed with Ananias going to the house where Saul is staying, where he's been blinded and been in a process of repentance and faith in Jesus for 3 days. And Ananias comes to him, and placing his hands on Saul, he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And what do we read? He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. The moment Saul's process of conversion to Christ was complete, he visibly, publicly bore witness to his faith in Jesus through believers' baptism. In chapter 10, we read about the gospel going to the Gentiles and in the household of Cornelius, while Peter is still speaking to this Roman centurion and his household. The Holy Spirit came upon them as they heard the message and received the word that Peter preached about Jesus. And the believers who went with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit of God had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And what happened? The Apostle Peter said, Acts 10:47, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water or in water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful account of the first Gentile Christians. And then, as we see the journeys of the apostles, their mission journeys, for example, if we turn to Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are ministering in Philippi, and Lydia is converted to Christ and she is baptized. Acts 16, verse 15, along with all the members of her household who believed in Jesus. And then the second half of the chapter, we read of Paul and Silas in prison, but God sends an earthquake and they're delivered. And the jailer, who was about to commit suicide because he would lose his prisoners, was led to Jesus through the ministry of Paul and Silas. And he and his whole family, that is those, all, of course, who were of understanding age, were baptized on the grounds of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer was filled with joy, we read. Acts 16, verse 34, there it is again, the joy in following Jesus. The jailer and his household were filled with joy because they'd come to believe in God. What a blessing. As we move on to Acts chapter 18, we see the gospel of Jesus goes to the city of Corinth in Greece, and those who believe are baptized, declaring openly their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. Acts 18 and verse 8. And then just one last one in Acts chapter 19. Paul goes to Ephesus and finds about 12 Jewish men who say they are disciples, but it's very obvious they haven't been born again. They haven't truly come to faith in Jesus and been born anew of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. And so Peter says to them, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? They said, no. And so Paul says, this is Acts 19, verse 3, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Ah, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, that is, on hearing the good news about Jesus, his death and resurrection, his ascension and salvation, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life that comes through faith in Jesus, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they audibly praised the Lord. And so we've traced the story of believers' baptism in the New Testament. First of all, seeing the example of the Lord Jesus, who, although he had no sin, fully identified himself with us at the River Jordan and was baptized by John the Baptizer, immersed in the waters of the River Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God and endued with power for his public ministry of 3.5 years that ended in his voluntary death upon the cross for our sins, and 3 days later his triumphant resurrection from the dead, 40 days later his ascension into heaven, 10 days after that the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the Church of Jesus, Jews and Gentiles believing in Jesus, surrendering their lives to Christ as Lord and Savior, and following him as true disciples. And the beginning point, visibly, voluntarily, confessing their faith in Jesus through believers' baptism, following Jesus' example and obeying his command in the Great Commission to baptize the new disciple in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' commission to baptize new disciples and the coming of the Holy Spirit is something that was taken very seriously in the New Testament, as we have seen. The apostles obeyed the commission of Jesus. So we see Philip, Saul, Peter, Paul, the gospel being spread throughout these countries of Israel and then into Europe, and going to Corinth, to Philippi, to Ephesus, and wherever we read about those coming to faith in Jesus Christ, we read of them being baptized on profession of their faith in Jesus. So what do we notice? Well, baptism is for those who repent of their sin excuse me, put their trust in Christ alone and are willing to pay the price of yielding their lives fully to Jesus. To receive the Holy Spirit as the motivating factor in their lives, the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, teacher, counselor, helper. Baptism in the New Testament is always the immersion in water on profession of faith in Jesus of those who are old enough to understand the gospel and to make a personal and wholehearted commitment of their life to Jesus Christ. It is a voluntary act of obedience. And so there is no baptism of infants in the New Testament at all. It is always the baptism of the new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to conclude our message and just bring this teaching together this morning before four people follow the Lord through the waters of baptism in our church this morning, we ask the question, why do we baptize? We baptize because we are following the example and obeying the clear command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do we baptize? We've made that very clear in looking at the scriptures. We baptize those who have personally repented toward God, put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Friend, religion can't save you. Not all the religion or religions in the world can cleanse away your sin and restore your broken relationship with God. Only Jesus can do that because of who Jesus is, the eternal Son of God, who took upon himself our humanity and offered his sinless life upon the cross to pay the price of our redemption, paid our debt in full, took our place, bore the judgment of God on our behalf, and then was raised again the third day, lives forevermore, and invites us to come to him to find forgiveness and to receive the gift of eternal life. Baptism in the New Testament is always for believers. It's not infant baptism, it's not adult baptism, it's believer's baptism. Whether it's a young person, and some of my friends who, and several who are missionaries today and have been following the Lord as missionaries for a lifetime, came to know Jesus at 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years of age and were baptized personally, visibly, obeying Jesus' command and following his example, immersed in water, testifying to the fact that they are united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, that they've died to the old life under sin and self-centeredness, been raised to a new life in Jesus, their sins washed away through the blood of Jesus. So that's what baptism means. We baptize believers in obedience to the example and command of Jesus and the apostles. We baptize them on profession of their faith in Jesus Christ, their genuine repentance. And in our baptism, we are declaring, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 6, our union with Christ in his wonderful work of salvation, his death, burial, and resurrection. We're saying the old life has been put away. I've been washed clean through the blood of Jesus, and I've been raised up to live a new life. And in our baptismal service, we then, having baptized the new believer in the pool, we pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit in the life of that believer. For Jesus doesn't expect us to live the Christian life in our own strength. He gives to us the Holy Spirit to empower us, enable us, teach us, guide us, and help us to grow to be more and more like Jesus and to know the joy of the Lord. Yes, friend, there is joy in following Jesus. I shall never forget the night, way back in 1960, in the Grahamstown Baptist Church in South Africa, when I was baptized. I'd come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it was such a joy to bear witness to Jesus and his saving grace in my life through obeying the command to be baptized. What should follow baptism for the new believer? Life in the local church. Baptism is the way into, the visible way into, the visible community of God's people, the local church, where we are then taught to obey all that Christ commanded. When Jesus was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Father in heaven audibly said, "This is my Son, in whom I delight. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Baptism of the believer, testifying to the saving grace of Jesus, brings joy to our Heavenly Father's heart. It also brings joy to the person who is baptized. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, we go on our way rejoicing. The joy of Jesus fills our hearts. And baptism is something that we're able to do, not only to testify to the fact that we have died to the old life, that we've been washed clean through the shed blood of Jesus and been made children of God, but it's also our public testimony that we are wholly relying on the gift of the Holy Spirit of God to empower us and enable us day by day to grow to Christian maturity, to become more and more like Jesus. And the more we obey, the more we are filled with joy. That's how it works in the Christian life. Oh, the joy of following Jesus. My friend, have you followed Jesus through the waters of baptism? Have you come to the place where you have willfully, determinedly repented of your sin, placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, and by faith received him, and in receiving him, received the Holy Spirit and the gift of everlasting life? Paul said to the Philippian jailer when he cried out, "What shall I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful blessing of knowing the truth as it is in Jesus, the good news. Thank you, Father, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was raised again the third day, is alive forevermore, and we who believe in him live also. We pray your blessing today upon those who are voluntarily and obediently and joyfully declaring their faith in Jesus through believers' baptism. May they be filled with the Spirit and with joy. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Take my lips and let them Take myself and I.